Hey, I'd like you to just pray, would you? Let's bow for prayer. And I'd like to ask you to pray what I've been asking you to pray, which is just pray a simple prayer in faith. Lord, speak to me personally today. Just ask the Lord, speak to me personally. Lord, thank you. We want to offer as our worship the best of our attentiveness. We really don't want to waste an hour just being present. We want to be present and attentive. Lord, you know the very deepest things. You know things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. So you say that your spirit goes into the deep places. And so just pray that you would speak truth, Lord. By your spirit, take your word to our lives and show us your will. That we might. And then, Lord, grant us the courage to not just be hearers, but to be doers. To be humble enough to respond and humble enough to repent. We're prone to wander. And we're easily distracted. So, Lord, help us to really be able to hear from you and know exactly what you said and know it was you and know what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. And thank you for coming. Today we have a special guest, a couple special guests, my cousin. Well, maybe he's a cousin way, way back. Andy and Kay Martin are here, and Andy and Kay are really going to kind of take to the next step what we talked about last week. If we're going to be this irresistible influence with love, because love never fails, and we're going to become this bridge as a church, that our role as a church is to be a bridge, not a fortress, but a bridge to people that can come across to God and God can come across our lives. And that requires, last week we talked about, you got to take the blocks out. You got to take out the things that get in the way of your being able to have love flow through your life, like anger, our fear, or particularly one of the things we talked about, your independence, your tendency, not intentionally, but just to take things on your own and forget about God. You know, the Bible says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And so you have to learn, and we have to learn how to abide, how to rely, how to walk all through our day aware of God's awareness of us. That's hard to do. And if we don't do it, we just end up very quickly off on something else. And what can happen to you is this. You can end up just being a religious person, but you really don't have much fruit in your life. And that doesn't accomplish a lot. Now, you've done one thing right. You came to a worship service, and a worship service is important. And you might pass this along to friends, because people can get into a really bad habit it's just a bad habit. It's a bad habit of maybe you become to take the a la carte approach to your Christian life. So I'm going to go to my class, or I'm going to go do my job, and then I'm going to leave, and I don't go to a worship service. There's a reason why worship services like this, where you listen to preaching, has been the mainstay of the Christian church for thousands of years, because it's one of the disciplines that sets you up to remember God. That God puts you, you have to go sit in a place, probably the longest place in your life, in a whole week, where you actually have to listen to somebody, where you can't shut them off or use the clicker on them. Now, some of you can do that. Now, if you have your phone, okay, please shut it off. And don't give me that whole thing about you're taking notes on it unless you really are, because God knows about liars. But you go to a service and you put yourself in a place, oh, God could speak to me. God could stir me up. And you've done one of the things that's right, to put yourself in a place where you can be reminded about your need for the Lord. And so Andy and Kay are going to come and talk about how we can remember God and why that's so important and why you really need to, there's some things that you can do to remember God. And he's going to talk to you about that, because before we go on to the next thing and why church matters, this is really important. This is essential to your Christian life, that you don't get compartmentalized. Okay, I did church. Now, God, see you next week. Or even if you are disciplined enough to have a quiet time during the day, you don't just leave your house and forget about God. Because if we're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be, it takes something more than that. It takes us abiding in him. So I'm going to ask them to come. Andy and Kay are great people. They pastored in Eugene, Oregon, did church start there. And then after a decade or more, they went to Europe or overseas with the International Mission Board with our denomination. And their job was a very, very special kind of job. It was pastoral care to missionaries. In other words, they helped missionaries get straightened out. So if they could do that for people that are in ministry, you know, they've definitely got some things to share with us and some stories to tell. And so really excited for my cousins to be here and share with you. It's going to be really great. And I've already listened to this twice, and both times were really great. So really listen carefully.
Thank you, Joe. Well, I don't know about that thread of clicking us off. Yeah, that's a great way to start off with something positive. You have to listen to me. So there you have it. I'm Kay, and this is Andy. And we moved to Eugene in 92. We stayed there and planted a church for the next 15 years. In December of 2007, we left Harvest Community Church, and we went later in life after our children were grown and married and went overseas with the International Mission Board and lived in London for the last 8 years doing pastoral member care. In October, September of this year, when the International Mission Board gave an opportunity for all of us that are 50 or older to consider whether we wanted to step into this voluntary retirement incentive, after much consideration, Andy and I said yes to that. And the main reason was, when we left in January of 2007, we had zero grandchildren. 2008, thank you. We had zero grandchildren. And when we returned from overseas in December of 2015, we have eight grandchildren. So in the last 8 years, our three kids have had eight grandchildren. And God just really gave us a freedom to come back to the Northwest and be close to our family and minister to our grandchildren and to our family the way that we were able to do that with other families living overseas. So we think about, you know, just a brief opportunity to share about missions this morning. We're living in the Gillihan's house. I know Tim was here just a couple of weeks ago sharing with you, and they've blessed us to be living in their home because we don't have a home while we figure out what God is going to do with us next. But in thinking about how to share missions, just my brief moment this morning, how to pray effectively for your missionaries. You know, sometimes we just want to pray, but we don't know what to pray. I just want to take one couple from Germany that we have followed the whole 8 years we've been there and just kind of track through their lives. If you were to see this couple, we would hold them up as an example. They've got two darling children in elementary school doing well in language. He's multiplying churches. They have a strong marriage. He's the team leader for four or five other couples in their area. He's connecting with international believers and non-believers, and has just really, God's done some neat things through this couple. Let me tell you the backstory, that because of our role, we're privileged to get to walk through them, and this is not unique. When that couple came to the field, they had an international adoption. Their first daughter hadn't learned English yet, and they moved to Germany, and now she's moving from her native language to trying to learn English and trying to learn German. So language was a difficulty for the parents, but especially in dealing with this precious little adopted daughter that they'd brought into their family. So they struggled through language and just the issues that that brought about in their family. Talking of children, after they'd been there several years and this little girl was thriving and moving on, they got pregnant again, and she had to go on bed rest. She had a difficult pregnancy. Now, if you have that, you may have family, but you have a church community. Look at the people that are just here in this third service or the Sunday school class that you left that would support and encourage you. Our missionaries don't have that. this amazing worship that we've gotten to listen to three times this morning. They don't have that. They don't get to hear the word preached in English every Sunday. They're the ones that are responsible for feeding themselves as well as trying to feed other people in a different language. So they struggled with how do they get support. They didn't have family there. Holidays, when this family celebrated holidays, just like all of us that are overseas, you get to celebrate Christmas with your family and Thanksgiving and Easter and birthdays. We don't have families that we get to celebrate with, so praying through and working through that. They had another little boy, and they've worked, and those two children are doing well in school, but education, what an issue that is. Your kids are worried here about maybe bullying or a bad teacher, or you don't like the standards that your school is teaching. Should you homeschool? In Germany, homeschooling is illegal. It's not even an option for you. So multiply the issues that you face with your children in education and think of your missionaries when you think of that. This young man, because he was doing well, was elevated to the team leader for five or six couples. Well, you think that's great, except that two of the couples that were on this team had been the team leader before him. So can you see any problem with the youngest person on the team now being the mantle and considered the team leader, trying to tell the older, mature missionaries that have been there how they've always done it before? Room for conflict? Yes. For misunderstanding, for unmet expectations, yes. We got to walk through all of that with this couple. In praying for your missionaries, anything that is going on in your life, marriage concerns, as this young man got busy and involved and was doing great things for God, his wife suffered. Where is her worth? She's at home with two young children. She has a master's. She's well-educated. She doesn't have an opportunity to get out and answer what God has placed the call on her life. He's away. Marriage struggles, marriage issues that we got to walk with them through. Anything that you're going through, your missionaries suffer through. So pray for them in that way. The happy ending, like I said at the beginning, is you would hold this couple up as a model family of missionaries because they are doing well and they're thriving. But none of our missionaries are without problems. So thank you for praying for them. Also, thank you for giving. We would be amiss if we didn't thank you. We just finished the Lottie Moon mission season, and none of us would be overseas without your generous, ongoing year after year of supporting us through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So thank you for that. We have lived in Western Europe and served among those European missionaries. Every one of them would want to have the opportunity to stand up here and from the bottom of their hearts tell you thank you, but they don't. But we've created a video of our European missionaries coming from Europe to First Baptist Toledo and telling you thank you for giving.
Most of those people in that video are people that we had the privilege of getting to walk through life with. It was just really cool. And frequently that's very emotional for me when I watch that. We're still fairly new coming back. The interesting thing that happens to a person when God somehow makes it very clear to you that you're supposed to go live somewhere else. We moved to the Northwest in 1992 from Oklahoma. Well, we lived in Vancouver for a couple years, but really from the Midwest and really adapted to the Northwest, and it became our home. And and that was just a kind of an unusual thing to be transplanted that way, and then all of a sudden, like, now when we're retiring, we don't go back to Oklahoma. This is home, you know. And then to be called to go live in another country, it's just a very humbling thing to know how God can grip a person's heart in such a way that it's like, yeah, this isn't my home anymore. That's my home. And so frequently when we see that video, it causes that stirring up in me, and it's still real fresh, which is a good thing. I like that. I appreciate understanding how those people thrive, can thrive where they are outside of the life of here. And in many ways, just what I want to share this morning has to do with that, because we're in a place, Kay and I are in a place where we're kind of in our own wandering wilderness, if you would. I'm going to share about the title of the message is Remembering God Moment by Moment, and it's coming out of a couple of different chapters in the Bible. Well, one of them is Deuteronomy 8. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, that's where we're going to go first. Some of it's going to scroll through up here on the screen. I'll read through Deuteronomy 8, then we're going to go to Psalm 105 and 106, and I'll kind of quickly go through those without reading the whole thing. But in Deuteronomy 8, the context is where the Israelites have been wandering through the wilderness, and they're getting they're getting ready to go into the land that God promised He'd eventually give them. It's all that. I mean, it's this land. It's like, wow, okay, we're going to this fertile, great land. And but they've been wandering, and that's kind of where Kay and I are. Is that I wouldn't say we're wandering, but we're in this place where we haven't really gone into what the next land is yet. Now, my hope is that we're not going to go into a land or a place where there's somebody already is, because that's inherent with, you know, like when the Israelites went into the Promised Land, there was war. That's the only way they could take it. I'm hoping that's not our, I hope that's not what's coming for us. But anyway, but it's really cool to see how the Bible, when you read through it, just becomes alive. Because that's what happened for me when I was reading through Deuteronomy 8, and on the same day that I was reading through Deuteronomy 8, I happened to also be reading in Psalm 105. And I read these two passages together, and I was like, wow, this stuff is alive. It's just really cool when you get, that didn't happen for me every day, but it's just really cool when you get to, when you read something and it takes on life for you, and it stirs up something inside of you. And so the Lord just gave me a message. So I'm going to share the message with you. It was really a message for me. But I think it's pertinent to every one of us. There's just general principles here that I think are pertinent and practical for every one of us. Let me just ask this question. Did anybody on the way to church this morning, either getting ready to come or getting here or whatever, forget anything? Anybody forget anything? Raise your hand if you forgot something. Okay. It's okay if you did. I'd be surprised. Yeah. You forgot something. Maybe you had to turn around and go back home, or maybe you got here and you don't have it. That's just a normal part of life. It happens every time Kay and I go somewhere. We walk out the door and I count 1, 2. Oh, wait, I'll be right back. I forgot something. You know, it's just almost not every time, but it's frequent that she didn't do that this morning, actually, but it's frequent that she would go back into the house and get something. Well, how easy is it? It's easy to forget stuff, right? How easy is it to forget God in your life? You know, you stop and think things that you forget and leave and have to go back and get, and I think it's just as easy, unfortunately, to forget about God. In the course of the everyday, it's just as easy to forget about Him, even if it's just for a short time. That's what God really grabbed me with in this reading of Deuteronomy and the truth of Deuteronomy 8, because it talks about the necessity of not forgetting God. In fact, there's actually some warnings that go with it. We'll get into that in just a second. But God tells Moses to go tell these Israelites, as they're getting ready to go into the Promised Land, you better not forget me. You better not forget me. I remember one of my teenage daughters saying that to me one time. I was supposed to go pick her up. You better not forget me. You know, I didn't forget her, fortunately. But I can just hear that. You better not forget me, because if you do, it won't go well with you. That's what God was telling Moses to tell the Israelites. Don't forget me, because if you do, it won't go well with you. Well, what will happen? Just don't forget me, okay? Because you'll unfortunately discover what will happen. And then, as I said, I was reading over in Psalm 105 and actually also Psalm 106, and it struck me again. I was struck again by the emphasis placed on remembering God in the dailiness of life. A guy by the name of Howard Hendricks wrote a book called Standing Together, and in that book he says this: failing to remember God's work inevitably leads to a failure of faith. So when we forget or don't remember, however you want to phrase that, it inevitably leads to a failure of faith. And he also said, refresh your memory about what God has done in the past, and you will rekindle your faith for what He will do in the future. So I want us to do that. I want us to remember what God's done in the past. I want us to take a look at remembering what He's doing now, so that we'll kindle our faith for going forward in the future. And we're going to look at these passages in Deuteronomy Psalm and walk through some of the practical realities of what it means to remember God moment by moment. How do we go about doing that? And here's a key truth for us as we purpose not to forget God in our daily lives. So if you're a note taker, you want to take notes, I didn't do a listening guide, but there's a note there, you can, there's a place you can take some notes if you want. This would be something I would encourage you to write down. And this is a key truth that kind of overrides all of this. God is responsible for what is happening in my life at all times. God is responsible for what's happening in my life at all times. That means he's responsible for the good and the bad. The hard times, the fun times, the prosperity, the poverty. He's responsible because God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. I believe in a God who is a sovereign God in control of all things, which means he either causes or allows everything in the world. Now, there's a lot to that. And there's a lot you can unpack from that. And there's a lot of questions that result from that belief that we would want to ask God, well, then why do you allow or cause this or this or this? And I'm not going to get into all that this morning. But the truth is, if we believe in a God who is sovereign, then it's either he causes it or he allows it. And if he allows it, there's reason. And he says to the Israelites, don't forget me. Because if you do, then I'm going to allow the consequences to come into your life that result from forgetting me. That's pretty eye-opening to me. And that says, kind of screams at me, pay attention! Pay attention here, okay? So God's responsible for what's happening in my life at all times. So let me just read through Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. This is the longest I'll read. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today. That's kind of a good start, isn't it? Be careful not to forget me, okay? Be careful to follow every command I'm going to give you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. And then here it is. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And he might have said today, a land where the internet is awesome. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increases and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the rock, out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. What's the purpose of all of this? Why is God taking him through this if he's in control? He took him through this wilderness, now he's getting ready to take him in there, and we believe that he's in control of all things, everything that goes on in my life. What's his purpose in all the activities of our life then? As you read through this passage, you find that the purposes are, one, to test and to humble us. He says in verses 2 and 3, I just love this. I'm gonna put stuff in your life, or I'm going to allow stuff in your life to test and humble you to see what's in your heart. Life is gonna be hard because God's gonna allow it to be hard to test and to humble us to see what's in our heart. So it shakes us up. Is He in our heart? Is His purposes in our heart? He's going to allow us to be shaken up in that way. So that's one thing. We have a constant need to be made aware of our need for God. And all you have to do is reflect on this past month or this past week or maybe even just this morning to realize how selfish and prideful and rude, and ugly and selfish our hearts are, and how they can be, how they can so quickly get to that place of ugliness. So He tests and He humbles us, see what's in our heart. He disciplines us, it says in verse 5. Verses 6 and 11, it says he does these things to drive us back to Him. Verses 15 through 18, He does all these things in our life that go on in our life to remind us of who God is. What is God reminding us of? As you go through your own kind of desert area, maybe it's not 40 years, maybe it's just 4 hours. But as you go through your own wilderness or wandering or tough time and wasteland, what is God reminding you of? He's reminding you that He's God, that He's sovereign, that He's in control, that He's the provider and the protector and the deliverer and the creative thinker and the strategist and the leader and the discipler. I frequently have to come back and get perspective and be reminded that these guys wandered for 40 years. They were slaves for 400 years. We can all talk about our tough patches in life. I've had my own tough patches in life. They don't come close to being 40 years worth. So it's just so important for me to remember God in the middle of all of life, to be able to put into perspective who He is and what He promises and what He's going to do in life. So how do we not forget God? How do we constantly remember God, just day to day? I'm going to consider four things. So there's like four practical action steps you can take that will help you. There are no guarantees, and the Christian life is not scientific in the sense that not a formula. But we do build things into our lives to help draw us to God. So that's I love to talk about actions that we can take that will purpose to help us get to the place that God wants us to be. And they come out of Scripture. So the first one is this. If I want to remember God, I need to be observing His commands daily. Well, that's okay. I think you could hear that and go, well, duh. You know, of course you need to do that. But do you do that? Do you purpose to observe His commands daily? It says in Deuteronomy 8:6, to walk in Him or to revere Him. That's the same thing. I'm going to purpose to see what kind of commands He talks about. It's not rules and regulations. It's like, here's what life is going to be about for you. And if you'll listen to me and follow after me, okay. And that takes an act of submission, an act of reverence for us to say, I believe that God got the answers. I'm gonna revere Him and walk with Him. Daily living it out. That's a challenge. Which is the very reason that we see God pointing out to us so often in the Scriptures that living life in Him is daily. It's moment by moment. He says, if a man wants to follow after me, he has to deny himself daily, every day, and follow me. That's how He does it. So it's why personal discipleship and the church is so relevant and important to you, because it enables you to do that very thing. So that's the first thing. Observe His commands. Be in the Word. Take time to see what those commands are, and then observe them. Follow them. Is it good to go to church? Yes. Is it good to read the Word? Yes. Is it good to love people? Yes. Is it good to be kind? Yes. Is it good to be gentle with one another? Yes. Is it good to speak nicely to each other? Yes. And on and on and on we can go. And we observe those things. And it causes our focus to get back to Him. Here's the second thing. Rehearse all that God has done in your life. This is my favorite part of this. This is the third time I preached it today, and I think, yeah, this is my favorite part of this whole message right here. Rehearse all that God has done in your life. So we jump to Psalm 105. Jump to Psalm 105. And I get excited about this. I get excited about this, and I may just start yelling in a minute, but not at you, but just in excitement. But starting in Psalm 105, verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. So the writer of this psalm is just starting out. Woohoo! Give thanks to the Lord. Well, why would you do that? Well, let me tell you, he says. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Verse 5, he says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced. And then you start in verse 7, and we start seeing the practical rehearsal of the writer going through just what God does. And I'm not going to read them all. I'd love for you to go back and read this and just get excited about it. But let me just kind of scroll through some of the things or the things that he talks about that he does. It says in verse 7, he's the Lord our God. In verse 8, it says, he remembers. In verse 10, it says, he confirmed. In verse 14, it says, he allowed. In verse 16, he called. In verses 21 and 24, the Lord made. Verses 26 and 28, he sent. Verses 29 and 32, he turned. Verses 31 and 34, he spoke. Verses 33 and 36, he struck. 37 and 43, he brought. 39, he spread. 41, he opened. 42, he remembered. 44, he gave. 45, praise the Lord! And I can just picture this guy as he, you know, David or whoever it was, writing the psalm, just, wow, praise God! He was just so overcome with remembering who God was. He couldn't be held back. And he got all excited about who God is. And why did he write this stuff down? Was it because nobody ever realized this is who God is before? Let me write this down so everybody will know who God really is. No, he already knew who God was. He wrote it down because he needed to rehearse it, and we need to rehearse it. How could we ever forget who God is in our lives? How could we ever forget all that God has done in my life? How could I ever forget that? How do I lose track of the ways that Jesus daily meets my needs? And I can say, I don't know, but I do. And it's actually pretty easy to get caught up in myself and not remember him. The dailiness of life can rip our focus away from God. It can be my own pride. It can be how I'm treated by others, how I treat others. It can be loneliness. It could be how hard life is. You know, if you only had to live my life, right? Right, I said this in the first service. I want everybody to turn to one another and say, I'd like to tell you how hard my life is. And just go ahead and start that right now. No, don't do that. Because we all could go there, right? It's all relative to who we are. So it's easy in that process just to forget God. Because life is daily. How do we overcome that? How do we remember God? Well, we choose to rehearse God. Choose to rehearse him. And this, just give you an example. This is how my wife does it. My wife is known by those who know her as a journal queen. She's a journal queen. She journals every day. She's got a journal for every year we've been married. We've been married almost 38 years this month. And she's got a journal for every year, maybe two in some years. She teaches classes on journaling. She disciples women through how to journal. She's just, you know, it's kind of sickening, actually. And she's just this journal queen. And So what, and one of the things that goes with that is every year at the beginning of the year, she gets away for either 24, 48 hours with nothing but a change of clothes, her Bible, her journal, and maybe a pen to write down, maybe some music, but just the bare necessities. And she takes that time to get before God through and go through her journal. That's what she does. She reads through her journal, interacts with the Lord in her journal, and remembers what God has done and who God has been in her life in the past year. And she's been doing that, I don't know when she started it, to honestly, but she's been doing that as long as I can remember. And she's so good about remembering who God is, although she does still forget. Because she's human, because we all do. But she's intentionally remembering that. In order to not lose track of God in our lives, we have to be rehearsing Him. Write things down. Take some time. Go back. Do you rehearse God? Go back. If you don't rehearse the things that God has done in your life, you will quickly forget. You'll build your house and you'll get your wealth and you'll have these good things and you'll think, oh, look what I did for myself. Just like Moses told the guys in Deuteronomy they would do. If you forget God. Here's the third thing we need to do not to forget God. Repent daily for forgetting God. I'm going to rehearse who He is, but I also need to repent daily for forgetting Him, because I do. Repent. What does repent mean? Go in one direction, I stop, turn around, and go back toward God. And how easily we start walking and living life. Come on, God. Oh, where'd God go? Oh, well. And I just keep walking. Oh, I got to turn. So it's an intentionality behind it, right? That we repent and turn back. In Psalm 106, which is the next psalm, kind of a carryover. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 106, it says this, "We have sinned even as our fathers did." So he's talking back about what happened back in the day. "We've sinned even as our fathers did. We've done wrong and acted wickedly. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles." Have you read lately the miracles that God did through Moses when they were trying to get the people freed out of Egypt? You read that lately? All the locusts and the frogs and the blood in the water and all that kind of stuff? And he says, "And yet they gave no thought to your miracles. They didn't remember your many kindnesses. And they rebelled by the sea, by the Red Sea." So they just forgot. They forgot. It's a sin for me not to remember or to rehearse the things that God has done in my life. And what happens if I forget? What happens if I don't go about that? Well, the rest of Psalm 106 says, starting in verse 13, "But they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his counsel. In the desert they gave in to their craving, and in the wasteland they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease upon them." And then it goes on to give other examples of what happened to them when they forgot God and they chose not to remember him. And they refused to repent of it. Life became about them. When we first planted our church in Eugene in 1992, we had a very small core group of people, and then the Lord just was really gracious and brought us in contact with people who needed to know Him, and we saw the church grow, and over a period of time, you know, we saw a good number of people. We saw several hundred people come to faith in Jesus and get baptized, and the church growing. And when we first started, we met in a middle school gymnasium for the first 3 years, 3.5 years actually, for the first 3 years. And after the first 3 years, the pastor was another church just right there nearby, another Baptist church right there nearby, that came alongside of us as Kay and I first got there and got going, and let us use their building for meetings and stuff and an office. And they were very gracious to us, but they were a very small congregation. They had kind of grown to the place where all of the folks in the congregation were past retirement age and trying to decide, do we want to try to keep this church going? There were about 15 of them left, and they still had their pastor, and he was ready to retire. And he called me one day, and he asked me to come over, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to retire in 2 months, and we've just decided we're going to close the church. But really what we'd like to do, instead of closing it, we'd like to give you our land and our building." And I said, for free? He said, yeah, I'd sell it to you for a dollar. We paid them a dollar for all their land in the building and all the money they had in the bank. Unbelievable. I said, you know, let me pray about that. Okay, yeah, we'll do it. So we took the next 6 months after they gave us that land and building, we got all the stuff done, we took the next 6 months basically remodeling the whole facility. Now, how do you think that made them feel? They were all excited about us coming over to take over the land and building, and the first thing we did was start knocking walls down, start changing the way the building looked. I wasn't very sensitive, to be honest. But that's hard, isn't it? Because now we're changing everything that they did. I don't know what their expectations were. I didn't ask them, unfortunately. But we knew what we needed if we were going to use that land and building, and we started in. So there's a lesson there to learn as well. But the best thing that they gave us wasn't their land and building. It was four senior adults that chose to stay with our new loud, crazy church. It wasn't that loud and that crazy, but in that day it was. And so these senior adults just chose to stay and be a part of what they saw God was doing in their lives. And there were two specific ladies that would regularly remind me. They would come talk to me after a service or whatever, and they would regularly remind me and say, Pastor, I just want you to know I don't like the music. It's too loud. I don't know the songs. You don't have a hymn book. I don't like the music. And, you know, I would just kind of, as humbly as I could, say, okay. And one of them would say, and I just, you know, I'm not really pleased with the way you keep getting rid of our traditions. You know, we've got good traditions. Yeah, you do. Oh, no. And so, you know, we would have that discussion. And then she would say, but you know what, Pastor? I love getting to watch what God is doing here and how Jesus is getting in these people's lives, so you just keep doing what you're doing. Now, there's a person who's choosing to remember God, to repent of self and point toward God, that says, you know what, this isn't about me, and it's not about my building and my church or the way that these songs are sung or the way that we got rid of the pews and got chairs, for crying out loud. Oh, they didn't like that, you know. All these different things that we did. It's so easy to forget God when life becomes about me, right? Life becomes about you and God goes out the window. When you know life is about you, you hear yourself complaining, saying, or whatever it is, or thinking that the world revolves around you. When you can grab hold of that, you know you've forgotten God. And that's the time that I can repent and say, oh God, yeah, life is not about me. I want it to be. Let me just be fair and be honest. I want it to be, but it's not. And I need to repent of that. It's good for us to make repentance a daily part of our abiding in Jesus. And how amazing is it when we see God's people cry out to Him in repentance and see Him respond in forgiveness. Look at Psalm 106 again, verses 44 and 45, after all these bad things happened. Starting in verse 44, it says, but He took note of their distress when He heard their cry. Same thing as repentance. Oh God, we have messed up. And for their sake He remembered His covenant, and out of His great love He relented. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24, great passage in the Bible. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. That is a picture of turning myself back to God and depending on Him, because He is my hope. Oh, what a great picture that is of repentance and His provision. And then here's the last thing. Turn your focus to Jesus in every struggle. Turn your focus to Jesus in every struggle. Psalm 106:47. It says, "Save us, O Lord our God." Here's a struggle. They're in struggle. "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." As you consider the accounts of God speaking to and interacting with these Israelites, both in Deuteronomy and they're talking about in Psalm 105, 106, you realize the absolute necessity of purposing to remember God, purposing to turn to focus in Jesus in your struggle. And that's why we build habits. That's why we build disciplines into our lives. That's why the church is so relevant for today. The Bible is still so relevant for today. It enables us to live life with joy, with hope, with meaning, with purpose, with all the things that we're all looking for and have been since day one. But you build habits of discipline. You build habits of praise and habits of thankfulness. My daughter, our oldest daughter, is 35 years old, and this last year, she posted a picture on Instagram every day with a title that said thankful, and she listed what she was thankful for that day. She did it for 365 straight days in order to build the discipline of thankfulness into her life. That's why she did it. It kind of blew us out of the water. She's got three little kids. Her husband's in the Air Force, and he was deployed to Djibouti for six of those 12 months. So she was a single mom. And still, just building that discipline of thankfulness. I'm going to purpose to find something that I'm thankful for today. And it just transformed her. Transformed her. So we build those kinds of things into our lives. It's why we learn to attach practical application to the truth of the scriptures, of the gospel. Because it is practical. Before Deuteronomy 8 comes Deuteronomy 6, where God tells us, teach your children these things. Remind them of them every day. As you go, as you come, as you sit down, as you lie down, as you get up. He's just saying all the time, remember who God is. Why are we here on this earth? We're here to know and to glorify God and to make Him known. That's why we're here. That purpose never goes away, and no matter how much life we have lived, we have that same purpose. We have a great work to do in the kingdom of God, and it's amazing how often we forget the King. So we need to be challenged, reminded to remember who the King is. We need to remember who we are and who He is every day, moment by moment. John 15:5. Cousin Joe said that earlier. Yeah, "I'm the vine," Jesus said, "and you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me," Jesus said, we can do nothing. Nothing, nothing. So it's all about Him, and we're going to purpose to remember Him. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for that truth of your word and just how good it is to get to review it again and again and again, and how good you are. And we just ask you to give us grace as we walk away from here today, not just to let this be something that sounded good or, hey, that'd be, maybe, yeah, but that it would be impactful to our lives, Jesus, so that we remember you and walk with you, call out to you, depend on you, hope in you, because you are our God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Andy. You know, John said that. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, if you rely on me, if you remember me, you look to me, I'll work in your life and you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." And the fruit he was talking about was love, fruit of the Spirit. That would be produced in your life. And we want to be loving, but we forget. We forget God. We want to be loving toward those people in our life and the people around our life that we can influence them. We can have this unexplainable influence toward them. But what can happen is even great people, if you read your Bible, people that really walked with God and started out really strong with God, forgot God. And you know what the Bible says? They forgot God, and then they forsook God. And I want to tell you, those people's lives didn't end well. You know, not all the stories in the Bible end with happy endings. If you forget God, even though you may have been serving God and trying to live for him for 20, 30 years, but you forget him at the end of your life, forget that, don't assume it's going to all work out great. You're going to miss a lot of what God wanted to do with your life and through your life. And it will become about you, and you will get wrapped up in yourself. And that's why John, when he's talking in Revelation 2 and 3, he's saying to the churches that they weren't in good shape. Those individuals in those churches, he said, I have one thing against you. You've had a great history, but you've forgotten. You've left your first love. And he said, the cure for this, he went on to tell the Laodicean church, they had done a lot of great things too, but they had gotten blah, they'd gotten lukewarm. If you feel like that, like you're not doing terrible, you're not doing terrible as bad as you were, but you're not where you used to be. You're not really, the love toward God and the love toward other people, it's just not really, it's not happening. He said, remember. The answer is to remember what he's done for you. You have a hard time forgiving people, it's because you've forgotten how much God's forgiven you. You have a hard time loving people, it's because you don't really realize how much God, what it's cost God to love you. You forgot. And he says, so you have to remember. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will remind you. He'll remind you of the things you need to remember. He'll also remind you where you got off track. Sometimes we get off track a little half step at a time, just kind of angling off. Sometimes we make decisions and nothing's quite right after that. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll say, he'll bring to remembrance the things that he said to us. Like, don't do that. Or you need to stop. Or you need to turn around. That's why he says, remember and then repent. Turn around. Stop doing it. It doesn't matter whether you're 7 years old or 75 years old. You still need to repent when you hear from God. Repent and then go back and do the first works. What is the first work? The first work is the work that all of us would rather not do, and that is surrender. Come to the place of surrender with God, to yield our lives to God. You know a bunch of head knowledge, and you got scripture verses, and maybe some hard things in your life have brought you to realize, oh, maybe I need to go back to God. But you still got to do the first work, and that is you got to move beyond that. You got to surrender. You got to say, okay, everything I give, way back at the very beginning, the day you got saved was the day you said, okay, you're Lord. Everything I know about me, I'm going to surrender to everything I know about you. But somewhere along the line, you quit surrendering. Somewhere along the line, you started handling things yourself. And you have become much, much less than what you once were. The level of love in your life, the ability to love, the ability to be patient, kind, gentle, self-controlled, joyful, shriveled up. And so now you go back and you have a fresh surrender. And who knows if the next 5 years of your life, maybe that's all you got. Maybe they're going to be the most fruitful of all your life. But you have to do the first works. You know, I'd like you to take this little card, put it in your hands. I know that just put it right there, take it up in your hands. It's so I know that you know what it is, you have it. And the purpose of this card is it's not some kind of gimmick, so that we can pray for you. And you can really think about what your response is going to be to this message. Now, you may have a prayer request about something else or information about the church, and so put your name on there so we'll know how to get a hold of you. But there's some specific requests that would be really important because, you know, you said, Lord, speak to me in a very personal way. So God's spoken to you about the fact that you've been very forgetful. Now, how can you change that? Well, we'll pray for you, but you could propose to take time to intentionally remember, to rehearse, to remember five things God has done in my life. Sit down and do that. Take some time to do this. What has God done in my life? What has He been doing in my life? Number two, spend time in God's Word, watching for opportunities to live out God's commands in your life. You can do this. You say, oh, I'm so busy. My life's so busy with school. You can't take 20 minutes to read your Bible every day. You know, the average American spends 7.2 hours a day watching TV or on the computer or on their phones. So you can't shut your phone off and shut your TV off and your computer off for 20 minutes and just read the Bible. Just say, God, it's your word. I'm gonna let you speak to me through this and remind me of things. You let that go, you know, you're going to forget. And, you know, your life is not going to follow the same trajectory. And then I propose to get alone with God and ask Him to reveal to me anything in my life that I need to confess. Hey, what if you say to God, God, just whatever you want to say to my life, I'll do it. And God says, okay, you need to go apologize to this person, or you need to go deal with that, or you need to deal with this. And you say, okay, well, did you have anything else down the list? No. If you really believe God, if your love for God is where it needs to be, you're going to say, okay, you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And then each morning, I will get up and be intentional about inviting the Lord to be the center of my life today. And I mentioned earlier, I said, for most of you, you should not get up first. You should just do this as soon as you wake up. Because if you get out of bed, you'll get distracted. So just say, God, I just want to invite you to be the center of my life today before you ever get up. So I'm going to ask you to fill that out, maybe a prayer request on the back, and I'm going to have Britton and the worship team come. And you may be here and you'll say, you know, I want to be prayed for today. I'm going to fill out this card, but I want you to pray for me. I don't want to leave without being prayed for. So I'm going to ask them to come. You know, you've been kind of in a definite slump. And you could sit there and you could say, well, I don't need to go down there to be prayed for. You're exactly right. Except for if God told you, you need to come down here and be prayed for. Don't say, God, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And then God says, okay, I want you to go get on your knees and repent and humble yourself. Have somebody pray for you. God, like I said, is there anything else you had on your list? I'll do this. No, don't do that with God. Don't lift up the lofty thing to God. I'll do this, but not this. So if He speaks to you today to respond, then come. We'll pray together. I'll pray for you. You're here today. You know, the first surrender is when you give your life to Jesus. Some of you need to do that. There's also a fresh surrender. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've let seasons of refreshing flow down into your life. Repent, He says, that seasons of refreshing from our God will come. You need that rain of the Spirit in your life. So as they lead us, you go ahead and come. We'll wait for you. I'll be here. Pray for you.